Now that I was living an impoverished life myself, I could see that traveling to some far-off city for any reason at all was out of the question, and in any case, Satsu and I probably wouldn't recognize each other on the street even if she did come. As for my fantasy that she might write me a letter, well, I felt like a foolish girl again. Had it really taken me all these years to understand that Satsu had no way of knowing the name of the Nitta Okya? She couldn't write me if she wanted to, unless she contacted Mr. Tanaka, and she would never do such a thing. While little Juntaro went on throwing stones into the river, I squatted beside him and trickled water onto my face with one hand, smiling at him all the while and pretending I'd done it to cool myself. My little ruse must have worked, because Juntaro seemed to have no idea that anything was the matter. Adversity is like a strong wind. I don't mean just that it holds us back from places we might otherwise go. It also tears away from us all but the things that cannot be torn, so that afterward we see ourselves as we really are, and not merely as we might like to be. Mr. Arashino's daughter, for example, suffered the death of her husband during the war, and afterward poured herself into two things, caring for her little boy and sewing parachutes for the soldiers. She seemed to live for nothing else. When she grew thinner and thinner, you knew where every gram of her was going. By the war's end, she clutched at that child as though he were the cliff's edge that kept her from falling to the rocks below. Because I'd lived through adversity once before, what I learned about myself was like a reminder of something I'd once known but had nearly forgotten, namely that beneath the elegant clothing and the accomplished dancing and the clever conversation, my life had no complexity at all, but was as simple as a stone falling toward the ground. My whole purpose in everything during the past 10 years had been to win the affections of the chairman. Day after day, I watched the swift water of the Kamo River shallows rushing below the workshop. Sometimes I threw a petal into it, or a piece of straw, knowing that it would be carried all the way to Osaka before washing out into the sea. I wondered if perhaps the chairman, sitting at his desk, might look out his window one afternoon and see that petal or that straw and perhaps think of me. But soon I began to have a troubling thought. The chairman might see it, perhaps, though I doubted he would, but even if he did and he leaned back in his chair to think of the 100 things the petal might bring to mind, I might not be one of them. He had often been kind to me, it was true, but he was a kind man. He'd never shown the least sign of recognizing that I had once been the girl he'd comforted or that I cared for him or thought of him. One day I came to a realization, more painful in some ways even than my sudden understanding that Satsu and I were unlikely to be reunited. I had spent the previous night nursing a troubling thought, wondering for the first time what might happen if I reached the end of my life and still the chairman had not taken any special notice of me.